This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This afternoon, Dane County District Attorney Ishmael Ozan announced a decision to not charge Madison Police Officer Matt Kenny. The decision centers on events in March. That's when Officer Kenny shot and killed Tony Robinson, an unarmed black 19-year-old.
Officers were called to the scene on the east side of Madison because of reports that a man was running in and out of traffic and had assaulted two people. Police say Robinson assaulted Kenny before the officer shot him multiple times. Robinson's friends say he had taken hallucinogenic drugs on the day of his death and posed no threat to the officer.
The death of Tony Robinson sparked emotional protests across Madison and added fuel to the national conversation about the relationship between police and minority communities in the United States.
We have two guests with us to give their reaction to the DA's decision not to charge the Madison police officer who shot and killed Tony Robinson, an unarmed black 19-year-old. First, we'll talk to Brandy Grayson, a community activist with the Young, Gifted, and Black Coalition. And then we talk with Jim Palmer, executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Association, Professional Police Association, and attorney for Officer Matt Kenny. Brandy Grayson is with us first. Brandy, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, Brandy, what was your initial reaction to DA Ishmael Ozan's announcement that he's not going to charge Officer Matt Kenny?
Well, as YGB has been saying since the beginning, since March 6th, when Tony Robinson was assassinated by Matt Kenny, was that we were expecting a non-charge, non-indictment, no nothing. It goes along with what's been happening across our nation. It goes along with the attitude of our country relating to black and brown bodies, that the value of our life is less than the value of property. We understand that. We understood that. And the DA attempted to justify his decision by trying to connect with his blackness, and he failed. He started off saying, I'm a black man, I'm this, I'm that, but you're not. He's not. He doesn't live in the same reality. He doesn't live in the same circle. He doesn't navigate through the world the way we do. And we also understand that state violence, including the murder and assassination of our children in the streets, which is occurring every 8 hours since March. Think about that. One of us dies at the hands of a police or security officer every 8 hours. So we already understood from the beginning that there will be no justice. We understand that we must fight for justice. We must continue to be disruptive in the street. We must continue to put pressure. We must continue to educate our communities and our youth to understanding the implications of what is happening and the implications of his decision to not charge an officer who fatally shot and killed an unarmed child, regardless if he was on drugs. We've seen and witnesses throughout our country different situations where white folks have guns and they're talked down, where white folks attempt to attack an officer or another person and they're not murdered. We just saw it recently in Madison where a white guy was going up with a fake gun or a pistol charging people. Literally charging people and frightening them. They did not kill him and shoot him.
Now, back to the case today. Do you expect civil charges to be filed now that we know criminal charges will not be?
Of course. They always do, right? Because that's the only justice people can get is, hey, be quiet. Here's a little money. Hope that comforts you and your family and your law. So, yeah, that's expected.
Now, the Wisconsin Police Union issued a bit of a statement. I'm going to paraphrase just a little bit of it, saying that now that this decision has come down, we need to strengthen the relationship between law enforcement and the city and those that the law represents and serves, and that Wisconsin can be a trailblazer, can provide a sort of a template for the rest of the nation. Do you agree with that?
I'm going to say that the template that they're quoting came from my quote from Disruptive Active article in Madison Magazine, in which I said and stated that the only way that we can become a trailblazer is if we're willing to do radical reform, if we're willing to actually address the root causes, because all of us have great intentions. Plenty of white liberals and white police officers and people in power and positions come together and say, hey, let's help out these black folks, let's do this and do that, but they look at their intention and not the impact of their decisions. There's no way that we can formulate a relationship between law officers and like a Madison Police Department when they mock us, dismiss us, and straight tell us the more pressure you put on us, the more then you deserve whatever happens to you. That's exactly the quote from Chief Koval. So do we have faith that they will actually cultivate a relationship with the black and brown community? Heck no. It's structured and founded in racism. Remember, we are America. Remember, America is built on the backs of the genocide of one race and the enslavement of another. So we understand that structural racism is intertwined in everything, and all systems and all policies and all legislative processes. And this is not about relationships. This is about power, the power that the police have to kill us, to murder us, to assassinate us in the street without consequence. This is about power. So what YGB is demanding is that we have community control over policing. That's the only way they can cultivate a relationship with the black and brown community, by shifting power from the state to the people, where the people have the right and the ability to hire and fire, to set priorities and policies and procedures as we see fit for our communities and our neighborhoods. So if they want to cultivate a relationship with black and brown people, then they're going to have to give up some of their power. But there's one thing that is one thing if a person wants to lynch me, doesn't matter to me if you want to lynch me. It's another thing when you have the power to do so without consequence. And that is the issue with the relationship between black and brown people and police officers.
Now, what you're describing is an enormous sea change going forward. And Michael Johnson, CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County, has been doing some tweeting, calling this a defining moment for Madison. How would you like this moment to unfold for young, gifted, and black, and for the city at large?
Well, I'm not sure what that tweet means or what your purpose was bringing up his tweet. I'm not sure. But, you know, where we stand, YGB stands, versus where everybody else stands is not the same. We are a grassroots organization. We come from the streets. We operate in the streets. We're from the streets. We operate in our communities. We knock on doors. We canvass. We hold political education forums. We provide education. We give our children knowledge. We're different than Michael Johnson. We do not operate from the level of systematic control. No one's going to dictate how we proceed. No one's going to dictate how we operate, because we are the people. We represent the people. We represent the voiceless. So the way that we move is going to be totally different than the way anybody else has moved, because we must understand that in order to address the issues that Dane County faces and racial disparities with mass incarceration, high disparities in education and every other system and category, if we're going to make real changes, then we may need to make radical changes. It's the same thing that happened during Martin Luther King's time, right? No one thought it was possible to end Jim Crow. No one thought it was possible to end chattel slavery. And now we're fighting to end the power that police officers have and police districts have over our people and our community. It's the same thing, different faith. So no, I don't know if this is a defining moment. Defining moment for who? Would Madison move in the right direction? Because it's the same conversation we were indulging in 1983, and it's the same conversation we're having in 2005. So are we progressing or are we regressing? That really is the question.
Now, Young, Gifted, and Black has said it will not be staging protests today, that those protests will come tomorrow. What do you anticipate for tomorrow, and what is your goal? What do you want people to take away from what happens tomorrow?
Our goal is to shut down the streets. That's our goal. Do what we always do, disrupt things, shut down the streets. The whole purpose is to make people aware of the climate, to make people aware of what's happening to black people in Madison and Dane County and the state and in the country. We're all living the same reality when you're black and brown and you grow up in certain neighborhoods and communities, right? So our job is to get in the streets, stay in the streets, build a base, increase our base, develop allies, stand in solidarity, put pressure where pressure needs to be, and to say that we're not going anywhere. Our actions will last forever. You know, like we understand that the struggle for black liberation is a struggle for generations. So we are focused on developing our leaders, developing our youth to understand the implications of what's happening right now, the political implications of what's happening right now. So tomorrow you will see us in the street starting at 9 a.m. Tomorrow for us is Blackout Wednesday, meaning no school, no work, no nothing. Come join us in the street. Come eat, come laugh, come enjoy some music, come enjoy some education, and let Madison and local officials know that we demand justice for Tony, even if the DA was not courageous enough to charge Matt Kinney with murder of one of our children. We will not take that as the final answer. That will not be our final answer.
Brandy, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem. Have a good day.
You too. That was Brandy Grayson, community organizer with the Young, Gifted, and Black Coalition. And now we turn to Jim Palmer for reaction to the DA's decision to not charge Officer Matt Kinney. Jim Palmer is the executive director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association and attorney for Matt Kinney. Jim Palmer, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Jim, what was your initial reaction to DA Ishmael Ozan's announcement that he will not charge Officer Kinney?
Well, it's the right result, and you know, it is at the end of an extensive and exhaustive independent and transparent investigation, which is mandated by a state law that no other state in the nation has. And so We always felt as though Officer Kenny's actions were within the bounds of the law and his training and departmental policies, and it was good to hear, after such an extensive investigation that included evidence to which we were not privy, that in fact was the right lawful result.
We got word that there was lawful use of deadly force, but a larger question, as referenced by one of our earlier guests today, a law professor, was that use of force appropriate? Was that the time to be using it? Are those questions that will be looked at more closely, not again in the arena of criminal charges, but maybe in the Department of Police procedures and policies?
Yeah, absolutely. I think anytime there's a situation involving a law enforcement's use of force or any high-profile incident, law enforcement, regardless of where you are around Wisconsin, around the country, it reflects, it takes a look and examines its policies, and it is always looking to improve and grow, and certainly that will be the case here. It's not lost on any Madison police officer, and certainly not Officer Kenny, that a family here has suffered a tragic loss. So even though this is the appropriate legal conclusion based upon the specific facts at hand and the law, it doesn't change the fact that a family has suffered a loss, and that's something that our hearts go out to the Robinson family for that reason.
Now, the Robinson family said, according to their privately conducted autopsy, that a bullet left Robinson's chest, suggesting to them that he was shot in the back. Now, that not being what we heard today at the press conference with Ishmael Ozan, what do you make of that discrepancy in the report?
Well, I haven't been privy to either one, frankly. I haven't seen the official autopsy. It seemed pretty clear from the district attorney's decision that simply was not the case. The family, I know they've indicated that they do have a private autopsy, but they haven't released any of that. And now, because of the district attorney's decision today, all the investigative documents and reports will be in the public view. And that, again, is as a result of a law that Wisconsin has that no other state in the nation has. And so that is something that we can continue to, engage in a community-wide discourse and explore ways to strengthen not only the relationship between law enforcement officers and the public that they serve, but we can, find ways to better serve the public. And at the same time, hopefully, that discussion, that discourse can serve as a platform that members of the public can become a little more informed about law enforcement practices, because they are complicated issues. And I think we have an opportunity here to grab in Wisconsin and to really make something productive from this tragedy, and hopefully that we take advantage of that.
How soon do you think the Madison Police Department will be following up with its own investigation on whether or not Kenny followed police policies?
I couldn't say. I'm not sure, really, frankly, how long that will take. We would expect that just like today, that he will be found to have acted accordingly, acted within his proper, his training and his departmental policies. And Officer Kenny is eager to get back to work. He is a deep and genuine affection for this community and for serving and helping people, and that is something to which he is looking to return as soon as he can.
Now, some of Madison's community leaders have talked about changing police training, changing procedure in light of the death of Tony Robinson. Do you see that happening, and what would it take?
Well, I think we have an opportunity here in Wisconsin and certainly in the city of Madison to have to use the investigative documents that are going to be made public, engage in a public, discussion with the community and to explore ways that those things can be improved. The fact of the matter is that the legal standard by which officers are evaluated when it comes to their use of lethal force is established by the United States Supreme Court, and that was going back to 1989. So, certainly there are things that, changes that can be made to some policies and to departmental training. Madison and Wisconsin in general, our officers and our departments are ahead of the curve when it comes to community-oriented policing, when it comes to mental health training. Just, in fact, last week I was up in La Crosse and officers put their mental health training to work there to talk a suicidal victim, rescue a suicidal victim off of one of their main bridges. We have an opportunity to grow as a profession and to grow and strengthen the relationship between law enforcement officers and the public. And I think we're certainly going to want to take part in that. And we hope there'll be a lot of people that want to come to the table and have that discussion.
Jim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Jim Palmer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association and the lawyer for Officer Matt Kenny. He was with us to give us his reaction to DA Ishmael Ozan's decision not to charge Officer Matt Kenny in the shooting death of Tony Robinson. Before we spoke with him, we got reaction from Brandy Grayson with the Young, Gifted, and Black Coalition. We're continuing our conversation now about the Dane County District Attorney Ishmael Ozan's decision not to charge Madison Police Officer Matt Kenny. In March, Officer Kenny shot and killed Tony Robinson, an unarmed 19-year-old black man.
What do you think of the decision? What is your reaction? Did you hope it would be different, or was it the right call? How do you hope to see the community move forward, and how do you hope to see police relations with minority communities move forward in the future? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we begin by listening to a clip from District Attorney Ishmael Ozan about how he reached his decision, setting up the framework. Here he is.
My decision will not end the racial disparities that exist in the justice system, in our justice system. My decision is not based on emotion. Rather, this decision is based on the facts as they have been investigated and reported to me. This decision is guided by the rule of law and the oath I took to uphold the Constitution.
And that decision, he's referencing the decision not to press criminal charges against Madison Police Officer Matt Kenny. We go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Therese is first in Superior. Hi, Therese.
Hi. I just wanted to say that the officer said that he was afraid that that boy that he was accosting would take his weapon and kill him. So he knew that that boy did not have a weapon, according to his what he said. So I just question that.
All right. Thank you, Therese. And there was conversation in Ishmael Ozan's ruling about the perception of the threat, Officer Kenny, and his opinion that his gun could be taken from him if he lost consciousness. We'll go next to Michael in Milwaukee. Michael, hi.
Hi. A couple of things, as I told the screener. First of all, I don't know how we got everything screwed up where the conversation tends to go in the direction that the police are the bad guys. No, the police are the good guys, and they're doing a difficult job that nobody wants to do. And it isn't always a pretty job, but it's got to be done. Another thing that I told the screener is the fact that I'm a longtime public radio listener, but I am so angry at public radio for the way they portray these stories. And they skew this story. Every time they mention one of these shooting stories, they always say unarmed. Unarmed has nothing to do with the decision or whether to use deadly force or not. A police officer is not Hulk Hogan. A police officer is not the, a big-time wrestler or something. They can easily be killed by somebody that doesn't have a weapon. That, you know, the weapon has nothing to do with it, and especially in close quarters, especially when they're wrestling and fighting with suspects who are high on drugs and who have superhuman strength.
And, Michael, I want to hear you out just briefly because we have other callers to get to, but other than not mentioning whether or not someone was armed, are there other changes that you would like to hear?
Well, the other thing is, too, is the other thing that's queued up in this is I live in Milwaukee. I tell you, I'm 69 years old. I've been around this city for a long time. And one of the problems that the black community has is they cannot say when one of their people is doing something actually wrong. And that this person that actually got shot by the police, you know what? He was really screwing around and doing something crazy. And if he would be obeying the law, it wouldn't escalate to these things.
But Michael, thank you so much for sharing your opinions. Appreciate you calling us up today. We're going to go next to Ray joining us in Racine. Ray, hi.
Hi. I will be forthright and just letting you guys know that I had to disguise my name and where I'm from because I'm currently in the running for there's 35 positions available in the city of Milwaukee right now for police officer. And I'm also African-American. And I graduated with a degree in criminal justice law enforcement here in the city of Milwaukee. And I just want to be very honest with you guys and let you know that there are things that officers face that people who have not been trained in criminal justice law enforcement understand. People talk, say things that to me are just completely outlandish and ridiculous. Like, why don't you, you know, shoot someone in the leg or shoot someone in the knee or shoot someone in the arm to stop them? Why do you have to shoot to kill? That's one example of that, something that kind of, armchair pundits say.
And Ray, based on your training, why is that a naive thing in your opinion to say?
Well, for one, we're trained to stop the threat, and stopping the threat is really a euphemism for trained to kill. You can't stop the threat by shooting someone in the leg or in the arm. Someone can still harm you. Someone can have a weapon on them. Someone can have a concealed weapon and then out of nowhere produce that weapon when you think that you've just stopped them by shooting them in the leg or the arm. That person could even be empowered with adrenaline enough to grab your weapon after you think you've stopped them by shooting them in the arm or the leg. I really understand exactly what was going on with that officer when he was faced with that young man that was, I'm sorry, for lack of a better word, just like hopped up on some sort of hallucinogen.
And Ray, I'm going to stop you there so we can get to another quick caller. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. And we're going to go next to John in Grand Rapids. John, a quick comment from you.
Hi. And, you know, I can't believe someone would make a blanket statement that all cops are good. That seems ridiculous to me. And certainly we understand most or more overwhelming majority are. But that doesn't mean things go wrong. And in this case, I'm wondering, what is the policy? You know this guy's darting in and out of traffic and behaving erratically, which might kind of give you an indication that he's on drugs. If you don't see an imminent danger when you get to the scene, why are you going right up into that guy's face and getting him going? He came out attacking. Why aren't you waiting for backup? What is the policy on that matter?
And John, thank you so much for your call. Thank you, everyone. And you can keep the conversation going on the Central Time Facebook page, or you can find us on Twitter. We are @CentralTimeWPR.